This is Amber.
And this is Shannon.
And you're listening to Twin Beaks, the Chicken Fanatics Podcast.
It's fucking great. So Amber,
yes,
you said in the podcast that I was obsessive about the chicks.
Yeah, you're pretty obsessed with chicks, I'd say. Yeah. Oh.
Well, I've been accused of that before. That's true. I guess I can't argue with that.
But
Anyway, I don't like to think of myself as being obsessed.
Uh-huh.
No, I think that we are diligent.
Oh,
about
diligent.
The chicks.
That's
this
it.
Is
okay.
This is not an obsession. I'm
sounds,
a perfectly healthy person.
More professional to me. I like the sound of that.
Yes, I definitely do not have a
We're
problem
diligent.
With
we
chickens.
We don't have a chick problem here.
I don't know why. It's perfectly normal for a guy to have 100 chickens.
Yeah. I think it's really normal for a lady too. I mean, that's,
right.
What's wrong with that?
Well. All right, but we're not obsessed. We're diligent.
Diligent. That's right.
I believe that people one day, hopefully, will understand as I do, all children and adults, how wonderful a little chicken can be. All chickens. That they're just not a little chicken in the barnyard to eat. No, they have a special personality. May you all have the same joy I have had knowing a chicken. My little soulmate.
Well, welcome to the second episode of Twin Beaks Podcast. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Amber.
And let's see, where did we leave off? We left off promising people that we were going to have 8 guests on the show, and what, they got here just yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here they are.
Let's see here. So, tell us what kind of chicks you got, because I don't even think I've got all the different types straight yet.
We have 2 golden campines, a...
Hold on now. So, which ones are they?
They are these little ones that are kind of spotted, and they were funny because they seemed to be kind of a little more under the weather than the rest when we got them, so, and a little bit smaller too, so I don't know.
Right.
They're nice
so
little
they're
chickens.
Brown, black, and white striped on the back, kind of sparrow colors.
Yeah.
And
they look very wild, like a wild little bird.
Yeah, okay, and what else have you got in there?
What do we have? We've got the Partridge Cochins, these little black guys there. Well, they're
the
kind of they're very round, very round, very slow, very friendly. They don't mind at all when you pick them up, and they seem to barely notice. And they're just such nice little docile birds.
And they've got feathered feet, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
So
yeah, a little down on there right now.
Very cute. One of them even had it on its toes.
Yeah.
I noticed. So,
really
okay.
Cute.
And who else?
We have the double-laced Barnevelders, which are these funny little racing stripe guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black and white stripes. They kind of remind me of skunks.
Yeah. They have little skunk stripes on their backs. And they're pretty cool, pretty nice little chickies. And then we got the Blue Andalusian, which is this little princess here. She's just always so curious and a very dainty little bird that's kind of shy and sweet and not very aggressive.
No, it's
very, very, very delicate on all its mannerisms and definitely has a personality. My daughter says it's like a princess, kind of.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, now there's one more, right?
Yep, the last is this light brown leghorn, and it's very tall. It has very distinctive posture that's very upright, and it's quite a bit bigger and more aggressive and kind of running about and very quick and curious and feisty. We actually think maybe it's a rooster, or maybe it's the breed characteristics that it's just a little more animated, but we'll find out.
Yeah, he is a bit, or she. It's going to be a she.
We're really
hoping for that.
She.
You got all girls, right?
Yeah. Supposedly they are all girls, and they have a pretty high success rate of determining the sex of the chickens. So we're hoping we didn't get a little rooster. So.
Yeah. So let's see here. I noticed that with that one, there, she's a lot more quick to run over and investigate things.
Mm-hmm.
If you like drag your foot, finger around on the bottom of their little enclosure there. Although they're all kind of getting into that now.
Yeah, but that one seemed bigger and kind of, you know, kind of precocious. It's like, seemed a little pretty clever and picking things up a little quicker than the other chickens. And it's actually quite noticeably larger as well, especially taller. So, and the wingtips are a little bit longer, a little more advanced than some of the other birds. So it's a little different. It's interesting.
But they're quite, let's see. So we got them, what was that, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it was amazing because I've ordered birds by mail before, and they, of course, give you a tracking number, which you should keep track of if you ever order birds. That's an important thing to follow. And that morning at around 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, it was
it
like...
It said it was in Ohio,
right,
the package.
Yeah.
And then 3 hours later, the post office here called, and we're in California.
Yeah.
And, okay, your birds are here.
Yeah, it was very amazing. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, they'll be here tomorrow. I don't have to worry. And then we got the call and rushed there immediately. We were there within 10 minutes, and they gave us our chirping package. And Shannon immediately opened it and checked them all out to make sure that they were looking good.
So I just want to back up a bit, though. So when I've ordered birds, they say, okay, they're shipped, and then it might take a couple of days, even though I don't think I got mine from much further away. I went through a different hatchery. This was a couple years ago. But, so I waited a couple of days, and yours, it seemed like, were there within hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, I think, I just want to impress the point that if you order birds by the mail, from the moment they get shipped, you should be watching and tracking them.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you can, because you want to know when they're about to show up so you can be ready for them, because how you treat the birds from the minute you get your hands on that box till you get them set up can be really important. And I've had situations before where the timing, you know, costs lives. You know, the birds, they get too cold as you're getting them home, or they ended up sitting in a transfer station in the mail system for one night too many, whatever reason. You know, if something like that happens, you can call that transfer station and say, hey, why isn't my box moving?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So being able to get them as soon as possible and home as soon as possible can be really important. But in your case, in the case with these birds, everything was fine. As you said, we both went together, so one of us could hold the box while the other one drove, so they aren't bouncing around. And I got the box open, and all 8 of them were just, they looked a little wobbly and a little dehydrated and tired, but they were not, you know, going critical. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they looked pretty sprightly. And Shannon did something I thought was really cool that I maybe wouldn't have thought of. He brought a water bottle full of hot water just in case, because they're shipped on a heating pad, and them being warm is one of the most crucial things to them surviving at that young age. So he brought that just in case we would have any problems, and we didn't. But I thought that was a great idea, something to bring a little heating, you know, something to keep them warm if something like that should happen, if they take a little bit longer getting to you.
Yeah, mail isn't my first choice to go for picking up birds. Ideally, you know, there's somebody down the street from you, or you're raising them yourself. And I think the best way is having a brooding hen and putting eggs under her. Your yields aren't as high, but it's just so much less work. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is isolate them and keep up on the food and water. Mom does mom's business, and you get as many birds as you get.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that is you can cheat. You can take eggs from the birds that you want to hatch and slip them under a brooding hen.
Right.
And I've never had a problem with her not taking them. In fact, you can really push the limit, and suddenly this hen is like, why am I under 14 eggs?
She has a small militia.
What are you trying to do with me? Yeah, exactly. Bred me an army.
Yes.
But, I think that's best. I think that the mom knows what she's doing, and that we're just kind of trying to copy the best we can with our lamp and our towel and, you know, I think that, I don't know if you care about your animals, I think it's good to consider their psychological needs. I think they learn how to survive better. I think it's probably better for their immune systems to be around their parents, mm-hmm. for a number of reasons, some of which are psychological, some are physical. And, you know, you don't have to worry about your heat lamp bulb breaking, or mm-hmm. if the heat is right, because the mom can tell and will thermoregulate them for you. You don't have to do any egg turning, on and on. You know, and then, of course, if you can't have the hen, you can try to hatch them yourself. And that's, with a egg turner incubator. And those are...
Those can be anywhere from... Are you talking about the price?
Well, there's a lot to talk about with incubators, yes. But I guess the short version is that you get what you pay for,
mm-hmm.
if you do your homework and learn how to buy one, which is important to investing in things.
Right.
I guess it seems silly saying it, but people don't do that. You know, they just go buy one and it's junk, and then it doesn't work, and then they get discouraged.
I saw these $40 ones from China that... they have a timer that turns them and has a humidifier and everything, and I thought, wow. And then there was ones that were hundreds and hundreds of dollars, so I was thinking of doing that, but decided against it.
Well, yeah, and it's also kind of like buying a car, you know? The average person that wants to commute to their office wouldn't go buy a F-600 Ford truck with a, you know, towing rig, right? They'd pick something appropriate. So it's like, what do you want to do? You can buy a really expensive incubator,
mm-hmm.
with all the bells and whistles, which are good, most of them, I think, if not all of them, you mm-hmm. want that. But it's only for one or two eggs.
Or so if you're only going to use it once, you know.
Or you can buy a cheap one for 40 eggs, or you can spend a lot of money and buy a really nice one for 40 eggs, and mm-hmm. on up, you know, I mean, to an industrial scale where you're mm-hmm. having hundreds of birds pop out. But most people that are listening to us, I think, aren't going with that. So, but incubating is a good choice in terms of high success rate, you know, because mm-hmm. it's very controlled. And if you have a good incubator, high hatch rate.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a problem with the broody hen where it's like she pops out 5 or 6 chicks,
mm-hmm.
maybe less, and then she's done.
Oh.
And she leaves 18. It's kind of tragic.
Oh,
not 18, but, you
bad.
Know, 5 or 6,
right.
who knows how many other eggs under there that are like 99% developed.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Wasn't familiar
but that's
with that.
Nature, you know.
Yeah.
The mom has said, okay, I can handle
that's how many she can handle.
4 kids, and that's going to
no
be
more.
Good. So there's no point in having 15.
Wow.
I've got my 4. Time to move on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's...
That's very interesting.
It makes sense to me that it would work that way.
Sure.
But so with an incubator, you know, you can hatch 20 birds,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get most of your eggs. And if you're very, you know, if you've got like one breeding pair, mm-hmm. and you're saving each egg,
yeah.
to hatch them all, and you got five or six, you want every single one of those eggs to pop, you know.
Right, yeah.
If you don't want to just leave it under a mom and maybe get two or mm-hmm. birds or whatever, so.
Yeah.
Incubators aren't, I mean, I guess one isn't better than the other, really. It depends mm-hmm. on what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I also am one of these people that believe in letting natural selection and fitness working on mm-hmm. my animals, so I almost kind of like the idea of a certain number of the eggs making it, because mm-hmm. those are, you know, it furthers selection,
mm-hmm.
but that's my own.
Like the early hatchers get to live.
Right, well.
To develop quicker, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It just makes for a more robust breed, because with chickens, you actually can breed, like if you move out into the middle of nowhere and start a flock and raise it for 10, 20 years, you're talking a lot of generations.
Oh, yeah.
And that actually allows them to adapt to the environment mm-hmm. more, and they'll teach their young, you know, what plants that are native to eat, mm-hmm. what are not, what the bugs look like.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some advantages to doing it that way. But then there's hatcheries, you know. Of course, if you're lucky, you can, like, get on Craigslist or something like that, or a board system, perhaps, to connect with local people, like we'd like to have on our website.
Yeah.
And, you know, get chicks that way. And then mm-hmm. that has a lot of advantages, too, because you can see the parents, so you know what birds your chickens are coming from,
mm-hmm.
what those
look
like.
Yeah, that's always cool.
And that'll tell you a lot about their, you know, like if you're going for pure breeding, you can see in the parent, oh, look, this has characteristics of some other bird.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't want this chick.
Mm-hmm.
Or, these people treat their birds like crap. Maybe I don't want their birds.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't experienced too much of, although I do have some Craigslist stories. Then we'll get to the Craigslist chicken stories someday, because, oh my goodness, there's a lot to say there. But, so you can go that route. You can get them often at feed stores, and mm-hmm. that's kind of nice, because basically the feed stores are, well, I've been to one feed store where they were producing and selling their own birds on site, but almost always they're buying them from the same hatcheries
mm-hmm.
in larger scale,
yeah.
and then growing them out a few weeks and selling them. So mm-hmm. this bird that you paid $3 for, they're selling for $8.
Yeah.
They held on to it for 2 weeks, fed it 50 cents worth of food.
Yeah.
So it makes money, or I'm making up numbers, but
yeah.
So it works for them, you know. And then that's nice, because it's like you're getting hatchery birds, but you get to hand pick them. And if you get to know the people at the store, make sure that you find out when the birds are coming in so that you're there first, stuff like that, then you can get some pretty nice birds at a slightly higher price. But then
it's kind of worth it, though, because the last time I did this, there were some fatalities, and most of the birds that made it past
that's
a certain
true.
Point lived for years and
yes.
years and years and years,
that's
and
right.
and the ones that didn't, it happened within the first few weeks, and some just weren't strong from the get-go, and you could kind of tell that maybe they would have a hard time. So even though you're paying more money, it's kind of maybe not even in some cases.
Yeah.
Know?
There's some other nice things about that too, like a lot of the hatcheries have a minimum number,
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
yeah.
and maybe you don't want 20 chickens or 12
right.
or however many it is. You just want one of one specific breed.
Yeah,
you
that's hard to...
You can call around to feed stores.
Hard to order one.
They'll go, yeah, we're getting 20 of those.
Uh-huh.
And then, sure, you're paying $3 more, but you only have to buy one bird.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And you get to pick which one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there and watch them, and after you learn what normal chick behavior is like, you can learn a lot about the bird just by watching them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like why we think that guy there's a rooster.
It'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
I did notice, because I bought a lot of mixed-run chicks, mm-hmm. you know, a dozen at a time, mm-hmm. and I noticed that even though they came unsexed, you could start pretty reliably early on telling if they were male or female just on behavior.
Yeah, like my little rooster that I picked that I thought was a hen, but one of the reasons I picked him over the other chicks is he was so active and a little bit more like curious, and I took that as a sign of vitality. But the more I think about it, I think it's kind of a roostery mm-hmm. characteristic.
Yeah, you picked rooster traits.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
so because he was quite quite vigorous and animated as well, just like this little bird here.
So that means, folks, that if you learn how to recognize what a rooster acts like early on in a chick, you can go to the feed store, and when they go, well, you can buy one, but you might get a rooster, you can pick chicks that are less likely to be roosters. I wouldn't call it foolproof, but it increases the odds.
There is something about them.
It'll be interesting to see if Mr. Posture there is...
Mr. Perfect Posture.
Mr. Perfect Posture is a rooster. He's getting stomped on at the moment by another chick.
Yeah, Princess is getting her revenge. That's the little delicate one.
That's
so now
true.
That the big roostery one is asleep, she's stepping all over his head. And now they've all woken up.
Yeah, that's what happens when Perfect Posture wakes up, the rest of them get up, which is not a good sign, actually, for us. But
yeah,
here's hoping.
Well, we'll see.
We'll keep you updated on Perfect Posture's
development.
Identity.
Yeah. Well,
let's
anyway.
See. So, yeah. Let's talk about our different experiences.
Yeah.
And why I brought that water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I used to live out in the middle of nowhere. It was an hour and 10 minutes to get to the post office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, another 5 minutes of getting the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then another hour and 10 minutes to get back.
So you should have just brought a tent and camped out outside the post office.
except you didn't know exactly when they were arriving.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have just had to live outside the post office. Wouldn't that be great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The
chicken tent.
Why are you sleeping? You can't camp here. I'm not camping. I'm waiting for chickens.
I've heard it all, mister. Get out of here.
Get in the car. Yeah. So, no, really, little birds. I miss them so. When will they arrive? Yeah. I had a problem where they arrived cold. The heat packs had worn out, and they were starting to die slowly, one at a time. And so I drove them home as fast as I could, and I just... by that time, half the package had died. And this was a lot of birds. This was like 25-something plus birds.
God, that's sad.
And, it was pretty rough. But, and then we got them home and tried to heat them up and take care of them and all that. But most of them died, basically, was what happened. And learned a lot from that. And the hatchery that I was working with, who I think I won't name, because even though they made it right by me, they replaced every single bird. I don't know if they want this as an endorsement, but they're a great hatchery. They were very sad about it themselves, the poor lady on the phone, and they did keep refunding my birds until I got all the birds I wanted. So, you know, can't complain about them. But anyway... you can get order replacement birds, and we did, and then they showed up, and I barreled down the mountain to go get my birds at the post office with just all kinds of fear, and this package was better, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'd learned to, what I actually did was I filled up several very large hot water bottles and took them down the hill. And looking back, what I did was I ordered them as early as I could, and I probably should have waited until the weather was warmer so they didn't go through so much cold weather.
You mean wait till the spring?
Right.
Okay.
Instead of late winter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that might have been a way to get around that, you know, is... And I got the second package, used the water bottles, and most of them lived. And then I got a third package, and that settled it.
So did you needed the water bottles when you got them? And
to keep them.
That was really useful.
If I'd had water bottles the first time, probably more of them would have survived.
Oh, my goodness.
And who knows, that whole pain of ordering them over and over again might have been avoided.
Gosh.
Not to mention watching them all die.
But, yeah.
Not very exciting, or not very cheerful topic.
But definitely a valuable lesson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing with baby birds is that people don't necessarily know what to do when they get them. So the first thing a lot of people do is try to feed them. And that's not a good idea if they're not up to temperature. Because they're like us in the way that our body needs to be at a high enough temperature to run, right?
Yeah.
And not too hot, or bad things happen on that end, too. And then that's just in order for everything to work properly. And then we need hydration, because we're mostly water. And then after that, we can eat, right?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't try to stuff food into a just born exhausted baby bird that's been thrown into an airplane and hurled halfway over the country through who knows what kinds of temperatures and banged around and tossed. And I mean, the post office people, I was actually surprised to learn, at least the ones I interacted with, were very very aware of, okay, these are live animals. We should treat them carefully. And the second time I went to pick up the package, in fact, the guy was like, yeah, we tried putting water in there, and we stuck them under a lamp.
Oh, so sweet.
It was really cute.
That's nice.
It was very cool of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great, because the first box all basically just dropped dead. Mm. So thank you very much. And So yeah, before you feed them, they need to be warm, and then they need to be watered, but not too warm, or they'll dehydrate, right? So you don't want to just boil your birds. That you need that 95 degree temperature, you know? And they'll kind of take care of that themselves by being all balled together in that little box. And if you aren't going to be, like, putting a heat lamp over them or something, you should probably keep the box closed, because heat rises, and if you open the lid, that's where all the heat, it'll just make it colder for them. So resist the urge to stare at them on the drive home if you've got a long drive home, unless you're doing something to water them. And then you can get an eyedropper. Some of the ones that were going down on the way home, I had a little eyedropper, and I would just take one little drop of water and put it in the side of their mouth and just, you know, try to get them down the road that way.
Good thing to know, just real quick, is if people try to use eyedroppers, avoid sticking them in the bird's throat, because that's how a lot of them will asphyxiate. So,
because
they have a thing in the middle of their throat called a glottis, and it's actually their lungs, but to most people, that part of the anatomy looks like a throat. You know, so they're, so you always want to be careful with that. And
so like I said, on the side of the bill,
you can kind of wick it in, even if they don't open their mouth, you can kind of dribble it along the side.
So they have the option to push out as much as they want, you know, because you don't want to be force feeding them.
Right. That's
very
good.
Delicate little system in there. That's actually, it's baby bird chicks are an interesting combination of very delicate and very resilient.
It's true.
They can really survive some outrageous things, but then it doesn't take much to sort of knock them off their rhythm. And
Getting them wet or cold or you know, putting water in their throats the wrong way. Those are all big ones that can mess them up.
So, yeah, after this surprising, hey, they're here in 3 hours, or however that worked, mm-hmm. I was ready, you know, so
yeah.
I had my water bottles, and I was just gonna, you know, do anything I could to make sure that they got under this heat lamp and had water mm-hmm. as fast as possible. So, you know, I was thinking of all of my experiences
yeah.
with that when I popped open that box. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, God, here we go. I hope these are fine or Amber's going to be so upset. And I open up the box, just like peek in there. Oh, my God, they're fine.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Then we had our epic 4-minute drive home.
Maybe 10. Yeah. Fast. Yeah. And we just jumped in the car, went there immediately.
It's not very far away.
Mm-mm.
But and got them home and threw them in the box. And so yeah, when you get them home, a lot of you want to just sort of watch and see what they do. You should have your heat lamp already set up and waiting.
That's what we did. Everything completely set up, getting warm.
And you want to measure the temperature in the box so that you're not cooking them. Ideally, your container for the birds has a place for them to escape to, away from the heat. So chicks will thermoregulate by moving more under the lamp or further away under the lamp. They will bunch up more against each other or they'll spread out depending on am I warm, am I cold. You know, that's how they keep their temperature at the best level that they can. So you can tell a lot by if your enclosure is the right temperature by how they act. Are they
mm-hmm.
all clustered up together under the middle of the lamp? That means it's too cold. Maybe
mm-hmm.
you need to move your lamp closer. Maybe your bulb's not hot enough. Maybe you need a second lamp. Whatever it is. Are they all pressed up against the wall, panting, spread out as far away from the lamp as they can get? Probably too hot. Maybe you can raise the lamp up, drop it down some wattage, and as they get... one of them just jumped right into the water.
The one with the fuzzy feet, of course.
And is just sitting there in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever.
It's taking up the whole dang thing.
Yeah, you can't.
No one else could get a drink if they,
okay.
they tried.
So, let's see. Yeah. So another good way to go, which we're not doing just yet because we've got them in a small space, but we'll probably expand to it, is going with two lamps instead of one. And that's so you've got redundancy for one thing. If one of your bulbs breaks, you don't have to worry about your chicks going completely cold all night. They'll probably pull under the other lamp and get through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had brooder lamps go out on me before, come to think of it.
Oh, wow.
But
hmm.
that was when I had them in those big boxes and there
yeah.
were like three lamps,
uh-huh.
so it wasn't a big deal. And it was also when they were older. But
mm-hmm.
especially when they're young, you really have to focus on, are my birds the right temperature
mm-hmm.
when they're young? When they're older, they have more capacity to get away from the heat or
mm-hmm.
get closer to it, and they're generating more of their own. They use each other. But when they're young, that's all they've got is their own little meager bodies.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have a lot of them, you know. It's
right.
It's easier when there's 25.
They're already getting warmer. You can actually tell when you pick them up that their body temperature is a little hotter.
So
it's interesting.
The other reason is that it creates a broader heat environment, let's say. Like, instead of one, if you've got one bulb, you've kind of got this intense middle area where it's really warm and
mm-hmm.
then it radiates out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take two lamps and kind of point them a little towards each other, but on the ground, like
mm-hmm.
think of two spotlights on a stage, right?
Yeah.
The way you see that, like
yeah.
that, then, or just slightly off center from each other,
mm-hmm.
then it creates a wider, warm environment, if that
yeah.
makes any sense. So
yeah.
that's helpful, too. So there's a couple of good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's less heat intensity, like it looks like we got the lamp too close to our plastic container here and melted some of the plastic.
Yeah, it was a little scary. Whoops. Oops.
Yeah, so
that's good thing we weren't gone long.
Heat lamps, I mean, they're called heat lamps. They can get pretty hot. Mm-hmm. So you do want to pay attention to what you're doing. You know, you don't want to get them too close to anything that'll catch fire, of course. So, yeah, that's the basic setup there. What else? You want to get chicken crumble, or chick crumble, excuse me. That's the important part, actually, is that it's chick crumble, because it's ground more finely, mm-hmm. so they can actually eat it. They like their tiny little
pieces. It has
pieces,
more nutrients in it.
Especially when they start. It does. It has a higher mm-hmm. protein, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. It's also, you can choose to get it medicated too, so.
That's true. And that's an important thing. So when you get chicks from the hatchery, like these guys here, they've all had medications for different things, right?
Mm-hmm. They've been vaccinated.
Right.
So, for Merrick's disease, I think that's one, and then there's some other things too.
But. Folks, well, there are stories to tell. I'll just leave some cliffhangers, but get your chicks vaccinated. Even if they don't get diseases, there's still good reasons to get your chicks vaccinated, and we'll cover that later. But, right, so back to the feed, you want to make sure that if you're getting medicated chicks, you're not double medicating with them with the feed, right? So let's just say you were concerned about that. You could always ask the hatchery, okay, I want to use this feed. It's mm-hmm. medicated. Is that going to be a problem with this stuff that you've given them? And they should have a
they'll be able to tell you.
That.
And if they don't, they'll find out.
Or you should find another hatchery, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. They don't know the answer to that.
But they're
question.
Usually more than willing to look things up for you or talk Certainly. To an expert. You know, they want to help.
So. I've had really pretty much positive experiences with people that work at hatcheries. I mean, I'm pretty sure they pick the people that interact with the public to be chicken enthusiasts.
Totally.
Because who would want that job if you weren't?
Right.
Come to think of it.
I feel sorry for them if they're not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I've had really good experiences, too.
Yeah.
Helpful people.
So, yeah, they were... That's all good stuff, too, there. So I guess I kind of rabbit trailed off onto chick vaccinations. What didn't we cover?
Well, I don't know. Have you ever had any? Have you had a hand at ordering the eggs online and putting those in an incubator or putting them under a brooding hen?
True.
Because they do. Yeah. One thing I was considering before I got the day-old chicks was I do have a broody hen from time to time,
mm-hmm.
and if you're quick on the draw, there's some companies that will mail you fertile eggs and they'll do it overnight.
Right.
Like very, very fast. And
that is a whole other thing to talk about.
And they have a whole, they have little, you know, sample packs of fancy mm-hmm. bantams or different colored eggs or different little, you know, varieties that they've put together. So that could be fun, but I've never done it before. So
I haven't, but mm-hmm. you can get eggs all kinds of places, and that's one I left off.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, cheaper than chicks,
mm-hmm.
But then again, you have that whole hatch rate thing to
right.
contend with. and they will, send them to you overnight. So you could buy an incubator for $75 and load it up with, I think it's 40 eggs.
Oh, yeah.
And just, even if only 75% of them hatch, that's mm-hmm. that's a lot of chickens.
That's a lot of chickens.
I mean, I've had many more than that.
Just imagine all the variety you could get if you're not depending on your chickens to make the right choices for you.
Let's just say it's a bit above starter pack level.
Yeah.
No, I don't recommend starting with 30 birds.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. The other thing that, just to finish up. So, yeah, you can get eggs like that on eBay, hatcheries, Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
your friends. You can stick them in incubators. You can stick them under a broody hen. There's all kinds of ways you can run that one. But one thing that we didn't talk about was substrate, the flooring.
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of people, and I have to just assume there's some people listening to me that they've just got started on the idea of wanting to get chickens, and maybe they don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's old hat to some of you folks. Try to bear with me. We try to keep it interesting. But, so, not newspaper. That's the thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. See, what you don't
or
want...
Or anything slippery, for
slippery.
That matter.
Yeah. For one thing, they'll make it gross. They do earn their names foul, particularly if you keep them in too small an enclosure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And boy, can they mess it up quick. You would not believe it.
Yep. So what you want is something absorptive and not slippery, because they need to be able to get grip with their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stick them on something slippery, it can cause them problems and injuries.
It's called, they get splay leg, and it's where they don't have the musculature and the rigidity in their legs yet, so, and then they're slipping, so the legs start going out at a funny angle, and once that happens, they kind of keep going that way. And one of my chickens, when I first got them, that happened to the little guy.
When they get bigger, we'll switch to shavings.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't like shavings when they're too small, because for one thing, their food and water dishes have to be low to the ground.
Yeah.
And that allows what the chicks will do is they'll kick shavings into their water dish, and then the water sucks up, or the shavings suck up all the water.
Yeah.
And then there's no water to drink, and you're constantly dumping out all these wet shavings, or
yeah.
The shavings get kicked back into the other shavings, and then the whole thing gets wet.
Yeah.
So I like to stay away from shavings at the beginning. The other thing they'll do is kick it into their food dish and then hop up and down on it until it like compresses into the shaving pancake, and
amazing.
Then they can't get to their food.
Yeah. Wow.
They can be impressive in their...
Mischievous.
Yes, mischievous. Let's call it that.
I remember you were mentioning something before about using a certain kind of shavings.
Right. So you want to use the shavings of something that doesn't have oils in it, like cedar... is not good. Don't use cedar shavings. Pine is the way to go, really. Something very benign that doesn't leach.
Doesn't pine have an aromatic smell as well?
It does have an aromatic smell, but it doesn't have oils.
No oils, okay.
See, the cedar oil in the chips will get onto their feet, and it sticks to it.
Oh.
And then there's a... well, it burns their feet, basically,
yeah.
The cedar does.
Do the oils irritate their respiration at all, or is it just a...
I don't know about that.
Okay, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Suffice to say, the thing is to stay away from them.
Okay.
So what we do use in the beginning is towels, and as you cleverly have put some newspaper under the towel, that's the
mm-hmm.
best of both worlds, so... if the water spills, it doesn't just turn into a wet, humid mess in there. The newspaper has some absorption under it.
Yeah.
And then you let them just poop all over it and kick their food all over it and run all over it until it looks nasty.
Yeah.
And then take it outside, shake it out, clean it. And so we just have like a stack of towels that we just... cycle through, basically.
And I do a nice little thing where I start on the long end and I just kind of roll it up into a burrito shape, and so all the nasty is inside of it, including
mm-hmm.
all the stuff they've kicked all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another one rolled the same way, so I just roll it across and then replace all the stuff on it. Often I don't have to replace the newspaper under there, but it will get a little wet from the water dish, so I'll rotate the enclosure under the light to make sure it gets an even distribution of heat, so it kind of keeps the whole thing dry and keeps it cleaner, I think, because bacteria hates heat and dryness, so that's helpful.
Another thing that I think of is I'm thinking of food and water dish placement, which is especially important with the water, because you don't want the water under or too close to the lamp. In
mm-hmm.
fact, you'd like, it'd be better to have it as far away from the lamp as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so if the chicks get too hot with the lamp, they can drink cold water instead of hot water. So there's that. If you want, you can offer them the choice, because maybe they're having heat problems
mm-hmm.
and you don't want them to have to drink cold water. You want them to drink warm water. So you can leave one by the lamp and one away from the lamp, but
that's a good
the
idea.
Important part is to have cold water available. So You want to give your chicks as many different tools to thermoregulate themselves as possible because mm-hmm. their mom isn't doing it for them, basically. So we have to be the surrogate mom, which
yeah.
we're not well suited for. I'm not covered with feathers, and I don't like sitting still that long, so yeah.
Yeah, we change their water out probably every couple hours, too. They're very messy little creatures, and the towel is just covered after one day. They make quick work.
It is important to try to keep things clean in there. You don't want their water to sit dirty with food kicked in it. That's the other thing. Keep the food away from the water so that they don't kick the food into the water, which they will anyway, especially when they're young. But you want to keep those two far apart as well.
It's nice to have them on a flat surface as opposed to on grating high above because they can get all the grains that they're constantly kicking out all over the place. So you'll find in some of those other bird cages just tons and tons of food collects underneath. And as long as you're willing to clean it out regularly so they're not walking around and their messes, then it seems to work really well. You save a lot of food.
I like a box container over a cage because mm-hmm. it retains heat and reduces draft. I think that if you look at the moms, they like to hole up in a relatively enclosed space to build mm-hmm. their nests.
Yeah.
So I like to replicate the nest as much as I can. So closed space.
Soft.
You
it's
might
nice have it soft.
Have higher walls than you think you need because it won't be more than a couple weeks until these guys turn into hoppers.
Yes.
And
they're already eyeing the top of the enclosure.
One thing you do not want is baby chicks loose in your house. We like to make jokes last time about letting the chickens in the house, but baby chicks loose in the house is a whole different animal. They're really hard to catch because it's not the same as catching them when they're in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very delicate, so you don't want to have to be lunging after them or pulling them out mm-hmm. from under, you know, some tiny crack in that little corner next to the tiny table that you never thought anything could fit under.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually come pretty soon here. Once they look like they might try to start jumping out, they're going to go into basically a big Great Dane sort of cage, so they'll be
right.
more secure.
A pet carrier. And when they're older,
yeah,
that doesn't
something
matter
really,
as
really
much
big.
If it's more ventilated. In fact, you want that because they start to smell, but mm-hmm. when they're younger, it's better to keep them in a box.
You could put little perches in those too through the little ventilation holes, and they like that even from a young age to start perching.
It is a good idea to give them something to perch on mm. when they get older, but mm-hmm. we'll get to that when they get older. There's a lot of reasons to do that, actually, that have to do with development.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
Let's see. Well, I think, of course, you want a thermometer in there just to keep an eye on the temperature because, I mean, you should be watching your birds, and they'll do that for you. But you also want a thermometer to look at. So there's that.
Yeah. And you decrease the heat in increments over a few weeks. Is that right?
Every week you take it down 5 degrees. So
mm-hmm.
the first week is
that's
95,
right. okay.
second
mm-hmm.
week's 90, so forth and so on until
yeah.
you hit tolerance for whatever your nightly low is.
Mm-hmm.
So if your nightly low is 65, then and they can tolerate 65, then you don't need the lamp on.
Yeah, cool.
Right. On the other hand, if your nightly low is 30-something, then
maybe in there for a while.
Right, yeah, until they're full size.
Yeah.
Or close to it, I mean, half
yeah.
size.
Yeah,
pullets, as it were. But, yeah, let's see. So, there's a lot to think about, and if you haven't really done this before, it might be really intimidating. I mean, I think we were both a little nervous when we got the box, even
yeah.
though we've both done this before.
Yeah.
And
I think we're both a little obsessive about the baby chickens, so they get a lot of attention.
Well, that's how mom is, a little obsessive.
Uh-huh. That's
yeah.
a good thing.
Try even picking her up to look at them,
uh-huh.
and she'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
But I don't want people to be too intimidated because, as I said, you know, they are fairly little robust, durable creatures
yeah,
in a lot of ways.
They really are.
And part of life is losing one or two.
I ordered eight, in fact, because I was kind of counting on some, maybe not even making it through the mail. You never know. Right. And they mm-hmm. just seem so healthy. I think we might get eight chickens. So
it's quite possible.
Yeah.
But you can't really be into birds or animals, or dare I say life, really, if you can't accept the fact that stuff dies. So you can't let that stop you from being willing to try it. You know, you might lose one or two, mm-hmm. and it's no fun. It you know, but you get over it, and you've got the other ones to enjoy, and that's just part of life. That's
yeah.
what makes the life part exciting, really. So I don't want to dissuade anybody from trying this, because we've talked here for almost an hour, and it might sound like a lot, but really we're looking at a tiny little 2x2 box with a lamp, a fistful of feed,
yeah.
and a little, what is that, pickle jar lid for yeah. a water dish and a towel.
And we both work, you know, full-time jobs, so
yep.
we're not here all the time.
Right.
We still, you know, we might ask someone, oh, check in on them, mm-hmm. and, you know. But it's not too difficult. There's a lot of things to think about, but it can be relatively simple.
Right. So hopefully you've enjoyed hearing from and about our little birdies. In the future, we're going to be giving you guys updates as they develop, you know, just some commentary, what we've changed about their enclosure, food, water, etc., as they grow old, just to kind of give a sense of things. But we aren't going to go on about the whole show about it. We have other things that we want to talk about. So you'll hear from Mrs. Perfect Posture and her troop of chicks here.
Yes, we've got the fluffy entourage.
Weekly as they continue to develop. And we're going to cover a wide range of other topics along the way.
Yeah, it should be very exciting.
All right, well, thanks again for listening to Twin Beaks Podcast.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Stay tuned for episode 3. This has been the second episode of Twin Beaks Podcast. Special thanks to Amber for taking care of all of these computer doodads, knobs, and such that I don't know how anything to do about that makes the whole podcast possible. Stay tuned for episode 3 coming soon to the same earbuds. So I push this one up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm actually using a switchboard. Look at all those knobs.
Mm.
This way lies madness.